Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Mullins wondering if they have to snap the ball again. And they don't have to snap the ball again. It is over in Minnesota. The Vikings throttle the Texans 34-7. Houston takes its first loss of the year and gets back into the division next week with a home date against the Jaguars.
Damn, I don't like that. I don't like Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. You can hear that live right here on Sports Radio 610. I don't love the word reason or the fact that he could use the word throttle and be 100% correct. But yes, Texans get throttled 34-7 in Minnesota, U.S. Bank Stadium. This is In the Loop. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, and you got myself, Reginald Atitula. Rock with you on a reaction Monday, and unfortunately, the reaction is not good. John, it is not a good one. And we'll talk about all the things that happened during the course of this game. You talk along with us. Text in on the text line, 713-572-4610. You can catch us on the Odyssey app, where you could catch the game as well yesterday if you wanted to. I know Fig was doing a little bit of that, and some of that audio will come up in the course of this segment. It was not a fun time had by your Houston Texans falling to 2-1, getting their first loss of the season. In fact, it is my first Texans loss reaction Monday.
So it's not your fault.
I guess not. I personally was under the impression that the Texans always won. That was all I had experienced. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And it felt like there's various reasons why we could point to or that we could point to when it comes to a Texans loss. But one of the main ones is this thing that just kept happening. And it's a thing that we kind of come to in some ways expect in some ways, but not exactly like this. So if you could give me here a Fig, and you know where I'm going to, right? One of these plays, because this man and his cohorts really, really had a lot of us upset and really embarrassed on yesterday.
Here's the give, and they blow the play dead. Looks like a false start on the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap, false start, offense number 78. It's a 5-yard penalty.
He got it out of the way early. Laramie Tunsil.
It's every week, though. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl player. There's no excuse for that. None.
Back to the 15 we go.
Preach, Andre. Look, you just said it, Reggie. Oh, man, I can feel the blood boiling, Figgy.
11 penalties, 88 yards for the Texans overall.
I'm about to say, did somebody throw a pin or something in there?
I think he slammed the table. Maybe he threw something. I don't know.
I mean, he had Seth out here just spewing kolache all over people because he was mad. It was an embarrassment when it came to the execution of keeping like the detail or the lack of detail orientedness when it came to getting lined up, not jumping off sides, like just the basic pre-snap penalties that Tunsil and the rest of this offensive line kept coming with. Was infuriating.
Infuriating was across the board, but let's not bury the lead here. Infuriating was the way they played Justin Jefferson. We'll get into that. The offensive line in general, as you just mentioned, we'll get more into that. Some of the play calling and the offense, we'll get into that. But I don't want to bury the lead here. I'm tired of having fun and a good laugh with Laramie Tunsil. I'm just tired of having, he does that, target on his back, all that stuff. Let me just put it right here. And let's be very clear about this. Laramie Tunsil is a liability. Flat out.
It's every week, though.
He is a liability. And he needs to go back to doing what he does best, sitting out.
Yeesh.
He needs to go back to doing what he does best, that's sitting out. Now, let's rest assured here. He's not going to be benched because, you know, not even as a message, because this is the NFL, and I'm not sure D'Amico Ryans would do that. But what would Mike Tomlin do? What would Bill Belichick do?
Oh, Bill Belichick might have signed a pink slip.
Yes. What would Dan Campbell do? Laramie Tunsil needs to pull his head, man. And I know I'm trying to, you know, I'm putting it all on him. A lot of it was on him. It started out from the very first drive. And then all throughout, and every time they converted a third down. Oh, sorry, bring back. Four penalties in a row. Sorry. When you're down, what was it? First and a third and four? Benching him might be the only thing that resonates with Laramie Tunsil. He's killing this team.
Benching him how?
Even like, just for mean? A message. Even just don't start the game. Look, it's not going to happen because I don't think DeMeco has it in him. But that, other coaches would. Ooh. Other coaches would.
That's not. I don't think that would happen. Like I don't think he. I think he's going to start every game. But remember what happened to Petrie last year, mm-hmm. where eventually I think in the second half or something like that, he was benched. He got benched during the game.
Reggie, let me say one more thing.
I think something like that probably should happen.
Let me say
a bad game.
Let me say one more thing because I know you kind of went ooh when I said he should be benched, even just for a message, even just not starting a game or something. Let's not forget this. Laremy Tunsil is the highest paid player on this team.
$25 million.
He is the highest paid player on this team. That is ridiculous. And I'm saying it right now. I'm not going to have any more good laughs about Laremy Tunsil's and false starts if they win a game. Ah, ha, ha, he had a false start. Nah, man. Nah. No,
It's every week.
It's every week. And people, you know, and when he said this, it just sent me off. He told Aaron Wilson, I want people to understand we all have to be on the same communication. I'll take accountability because they're calling my name, but it takes all of us. Dude, when you say I'll take accountability, but you're not taking accountability. You're the highest paid player on the team. You're the veteran left tackle.
You got a C on your chest, my man.
I'm telling you, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I didn't want to spring it on you before the show because I want a real reaction from both you and Figgy and from our listeners, 713-572-4610. They got to do something, man. They got to do something with this guy.
Yeah, man, and this is the thing. Is like I had a little bit of a cackle during the course of the game because I was like, yo, man, that's a $25 million player right now. You have invested a lot in the offensive line. And that, I mean, without even talking about like the capabilities, right? Because it's kind of insane in some ways that you've gotten to a point where you look at a guy and you go, yeah, we're just giving up on him being incredible in the run game,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's already a thing that you've already done with Laremy Tunsil. You're like, all right, he can pass block. The run game is not necessarily there, but that's fine,
mm-hmm.
right? And then on top of that, there's also the given that, man, you're going to get a false start or two in the course of this game. And the reason why we had to start here, right, and it's not just Tunsil. Tunsil just, he is the lightning rod because it's a constant issue. Tytus Howard had his issues.
Sure.
Juice Scruggs had a nod types thing. It is because, like, this team offensively, in this game, one thing that you could not do against the Minnesota Vikings was allow them to win the game script battle. What am I meaning when I say that, right? If you allow them to play from ahead, they did, you know, they could run the ball. They could continue to do the things that they do. They could continue to send pressure mm-hmm. against you offensively. All those things happen. And unfortunately, early on, you had an interception. And then once you went down and drove, Kyahmi Fairbairn did something that felt impossible, which is missing a field goal. All right, cool. You had probably three drives in a row before you ended the half that were punt, 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 and all of them you had penalty yards on them because your drives are stalling, mm-hmm. right? This is a team in the Texans that getting into the end zone has been a little bit of an issue this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we could point to offensive things, and we'll talk about that. But penalties have stalled drives. Like this, you are actively shooting this team in the foot in what is supposed to be a strength for this team.
Yes.
When it comes to the offense, even when the team was trying to make up for some of those instances. On Thursday, I believe, we played some audio from DeMeco Ryans as he had spoken on Wednesday of last mm-hmm. week. And one of the questions he was asked about third and long, and he's like, hey, man, you know, God can't stay getting third and longs. And I know that in that moment, in response to the audio, we kind of were like, yeah, obvious. But you saw it, right? They were in third and long. Time and time and time again, and even when you had instances where your explosive offense, your capabilities with your wide receivers were able to get, you know, you find Tank, you find Nico, those are also being negated. Like, I don't know how you can be successful if at the very start of a play you're not starting on the right foot, which is the easy thing of lining up and looking to your right or looking to your left if you were talking about Tyus Howard and making sure that you're aligned. Or hell, let's get like wide receivers. Let's talk to the offense or to the line judge. Like, hey, am I on? In fact, if you could, Figgy, Tytus Howard was actually talking about this. Like after the game, he was asked about the illegal formation penalties, of which there were many in this game.
Yeah, we had one called the first 2 weeks. So, I mean, we lined up the same way we lined up the first 2 weeks tonight, and then it was just some reason tonight they were like, all right, we're just going to call them. But it was just inconsistent.
What were they saying it was?
Same guy be up further on the line. I mean, but then again, the next play, you'll be in the same spot, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're good. So, like, I mean, I don't know. That's tough. That's tough. So, I mean, I just moved up further as I could, and then I looked at the guy, and he was like, are you good? So I was like, I mean, I'm lined up even with the center now. So, I mean, if that's what I got to do. I got to do it. But, I mean, definitely something that – I mean, we're going to have to work with the NFL with, like, because, I mean, it's a problem all around the league for all tackles, having to move up so far in the line of scrimmage. And then it becomes a problem on the road games when you're on silent count and then guys getting out the ball before you get a can because you're so far up. So it's just something you got to work on.
Pretty cool explanation there. Let me tell you why it doesn't resonate with me at all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why it doesn't resonate with me at all. All right? They have been emphasizing this since training camp. Oh, that's right. Laremy Tunsil doesn't do training camp.
All right.
I'm serious.
I mean,
I'm serious.
Fair.
Oh, yeah, they've been emphasizing this since training camp. They've been working on all this since training camp. Who doesn't practice at training camp? Laremy Tunsil. Let me give you some numbers that backed up what you just talked about. You talked about third down. The Texans had 14 third down plays yesterday. 13 out of 14 were third and seven or longer. Why? Penalties. You say he's the lightning rod. He also has the most. And let me give you some examples on that. The Texans are the third most penalized team in the NFL today. No team has more pre-snap penalties than the Texans. Tunsil is the most penalized player in the NFL by a long shot. He's been penalized 10 times, and this is all according to Football Database. The next most individually, 5. They are all pre-snap penalties. He's got 7 false starts, and 3 misalignments, illegal formation.
And this is like, these penalties aren't the ones that happen in the course of play. These aren't, right. Man, I grabbed at the wrong place and the technique kind of just got a little light on me because I was tired or what have you. This is before a play starts.
Yes.
And I hear Titus Howard on the frustration of the lack of consistency of calling things. We all have talked about how the NFL and officials are not always great about these things, right? I can understand the frustration there. And ultimately, that leads to you having a lineup right on the line and having, the defensive lineman have a little bit of an edge. I understand the frustration there. But that's what you got to do, because the thing that I noted, and I think I wrote this down when in the third quarter, Super Bowl teams don't hurt themselves in this way, right? Especially in the places where, if you were talking about the AFC South and just trying to win a division, particularly this AFC South that kind of stinks, that's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man. There's wiggle room. There's margin for error. When we talk about playing amongst the best in the league, which is the place that this team clearly wants to be, and a place that a lot of people have talked about them being.
Yeah.
When you're in there, the margins are razor thin. And you know what's not razor thin? 88 penalty yards.
Yeah.
11 penalties. Killing drive upon drive, especially early on in the game when you need to have an advantage in the game script to put pressure on the Vikings, to put pressure on Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold. These are the things that you can't do. And so, like, a championship mentality is, all right, man, like, I understand. It's not fun to have to, like, try and get back there. And it's going to be tough to go get that defensive end as he's rushing. But what I can't afford to do is give them 5 yards immediately before they even do anything.
And you can't afford to just let Laremy Tunsil keep on keeping on. And, again, look, trust me, it's not all Laremy Tunsil, but it starts with Laremy Tunsil.
As the highest paid,
it starts with him.
All those.
Yeah, and D'Amico Ryans, after the game, was talking about, you know, we got to man up and do what you're supposed to do. So basically he's saying we got to send a message, we got to set an example, a better example, and be more accountable. Well, there's no better way to start than with that guy. I mean, there's absolutely no. I mean, he frustrated me, as you can probably tell, to no end, because he is the highest paid. He is the left tackle. He's a captain. He's been missing training camp. It's going to come back and bite you, and it did. I mean, if you want to send a message, I'm going to say it again. You have to do something with Laremy Tunsil. If you're going to send a message to the entire team, start with that guy.
And the thing that I have questions about when it comes to D'Amico is, like, how does D'Amico then, I understand the idea of, like, sending the message. How does he deal with this? Because he is a defensive coach, but not only is he a defensive-minded head coach, he actively has hands in the defense.
Yeah.
There's only so many hours in the day, and so I think it is fair to assume he didn't get to talk to that offensive side that much. Like, how easy is it to then walk into that offensive room and, you know, start laying down the law? He's still the head man, right? Yeah. I think he still has the authority that that position conveys. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how easy is it for him to go in and have those kind of conversations on that side of the football? Because I think at that point, we are starting to point to, hey, man, Bobby Slowik is the captain of the offense, yeah, right? Like, this is his offense because of that.
We'll definitely get into that.
Because of that dynamic, right? Like, how does the authority structure, how does the power structure then filter down and affect that? Mm-hmm. I think you're pointing to the idea, hey, man, Blake Fisher might need to get some games here, right? You have a dude who
you got a guy ready,
drafted highly.
Oh, you got a guy that went to training camp.
Right.
You got a guy that went to training camp and worked with the first team.
Is it as simple as, hey, Laremy Tunsil doesn't play? Because are you at that point hurting yourself in a different way because you're putting in a less capable player?
If you're talking about messaging, there's no better message. And Reggie, you're asking, you're talking about, well, how do you find time? You know, it could be maybe a little difficult. I don't think it's difficult at all. You're the head coach.
How would you do this if you was the head coach?
I would say you're not starting against Jacksonville.
That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot, man.
Period. Now, you can't go the entire season without Laremy Tunsil. Let's be honest. Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing in the messaging, mm-hmm, right? There's on the 281, they're like, bench Tunsil for a half. I don't know that you can go out in the beginning of this and say bench him for a half. Like, I do wonder how useful a move like that is, a symbolic move is, when it is very obvious that it's symbolic. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it would necessarily be that obvious to be symbolic. Yes, it is a message, but it's more meaty. There's more meat on the bone than messaging when you are, because you're telling the entire team, Laremy Tunsil just got benched. He ain't starting against Jacksonville. Now, Blake Fisher plays well, he goes in. Someone gets hurt, maybe Laremy Tunsil comes in. But you don't say, hey, we're going to bring you in after two series, because then there's no message. Now, maybe you personally are saying something among your coaching staff, like, hey, you better have a good week of practice, and you might play, you might not. And then if he has a good week practice and he becomes that guy, then he comes back and it's Buffalo the next week, right? Then he can start then. But you cannot let this go.
I think they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, though.
They've given it to him.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, so if they go into this week versus Jacksonville and he's still having these same issues in the first half, I can see them in the second half going with Blake Fisher,
mm-hmm, and putting him on the bench. I think that might be more effective. They're going to give him
a chance to clean this up.
I think that might, and now where I'm kind of picking nits in this instance, yeah, but that might be a more effective, like, psychological thing is, hey, you're starting and you're not doing enough and you have to go sit down now.
I don't, because what if Wednesday, when they put the pads back on, they don't really start practicing again until Wednesday. They're just watching film today and off tomorrow. They go, Blake, you're left tackle. That message to the entire team, all of a sudden, you sit up in your seat and you go, whoa, D'Amico ain't playing. You got, again, one more time, the highest paid player on the team, the most penalized player on the team, a captain on the team, a guy that said, I take accountability, but, which is not taking accountability. You can't let that slide, man. Can't do it. Not if, especially when you're a team that thinks you got a shot.
Yeah, and especially with a team that believes so much in process,
mm-hmm,
right? It's results is
it's
one
great
thing,
point,
but they believe so much in process. Yes. And one of the things that really got under my skin, there was a couple of words that I wanted to say there that I ultimately chose better, but got under my skin was that there was no getting better in the course of this,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, you made a mistake and mistakes happen, right? And if you're process oriented, you go, mistakes happen, but what do we then do to fix it? Can't keep making the same mistake over and over. That is something that happened over the course of this game. That is something that has happened over the course of this short season. And unfortunately for Laremy Tunsil himself, that is the same thing that has happened over the course of his career.
Yeah.
And at some point, that needs to shift. I think for me, that's the easy part for me to say. The hard part is, how do you actually make it happen? And that is where D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowik, they have to then step in and figure out the answer there. Because if you want to go the places that you want to go, that immediately needs to be fixed because that is the foundation.
Yeah.
Offensive line and getting yourself set to be able to go and execute a play, that's a foundation. And right now the foundation is cracked. So there you go. That's how we're starting Reaction Monday here in the
And we're off.
Sports Radio 610. hey, man, the expectations come with more responsibility, right? And now the responsibility was clearly dropped in a 34-7 whooping that the Texans took versus the Vikings yesterday. You heard that here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we need to have a Bobby Slowick conversation just about the offense in general. Yes, the offensive line did not do what they needed to do, just getting themselves ready. Penalties were blowing up offensive possessions. But I think there's more things to be had underneath this underneath the surface when it comes to this offense. Let's talk about all that next.